But those who have veiled over this whole law, the sacred rites, the treaties, the altar of mercy, the common hearth from which friendship and concord were joined together, for everything proceeds by sevens and Sabbaths. The more powerful of them oppress the weaker with continuous and unremitting demands, and they oppress the fields too, always pursuing homeless gains born of greed, setting upon their desires unbridled and unjust impulses toward the insatiable. For instead of granting to men, who, in the truest sense, are brothers, since common nature is their one mother, the truces prescribed after every 6 days, and instead of granting to the land as well the reliefs due after every 6 years, refraining from burdening it with sowing or planting, so that it should not be worn out by unbroken labors, neglecting these beneficial exhortations that called them to gentleness, they oppressed with unrelenting compulsions the bodies and souls of all whom they could. And they cut away the strength of the deep soil too, insatiably exacting yields beyond its capacity, and through tributes not only yearly but even daily, wearing it down and breaking its neck entirely. For these things, they will pay in full the curses and penalties described. But the land, its sinews cut and having endured countless afflictions, will be relieved once it has thrown off the burden of its impious inhabitants, and it will grow lighter. And when, looking about on every side, it sees none of those who tore down its greatness and dignity, but sees its marketplaces empty of tumult, wars, and wrongdoing, and full instead of quiet, peace, and justice, it will grow young again and flourish, and it will keep the seasons of the sacred Sabbaths as festivals in stillness, gathering its strength to rest, like an athlete who has trained beforehand. Then, like an affectionate mother, it will grieve for the sons and daughters it lost, who became a source of pain to their parents, whether dead or, even more, while still alive. But growing young once more, it will bear fruit and give birth to a blameless generation, a restoration of the former one. For, as the prophet says, the desolate woman is rich in children and abounds in offspring, a saying that is also allegorized concerning the soul. For whenever the soul is populous, it is filled to overflowing with passions and vices, as if surrounded by its own children, pleasures, desires, folly, licentiousness, injustice, and it is weak, sick, and, in its precarious state, dying. But once it has been made barren and childless of these, or has cast them off all at once, it becomes, by this transformation, a pure virgin, and having received the divine seed, it molds and brings to life natures worth fighting for, wonders of beauty, prudence, courage, self-control, justice, holiness, piety, the other virtues, and good feelings, whose birth is a blessing rich in offspring, and whose very expectation, even before the birth, already brightens its weakness with hope. Hope is a joy before joy, even though it falls short of the complete joy that comes after, it is nonetheless better than it in two ways, because it loosens and enriches the parched dryness of our anxious cares, and because, running ahead of what is to come, it brings the good news of the full good yet to arrive. As for the curses and punishments, then, which those deserve to undergo who despise the justice and piety of the sacred laws and are led astray by polytheistic opinions, whose end is atheism, through forgetting the teaching native and ancestral to them, which they were taught from their earliest years, namely to regard the nature of the One as the supreme God, to whom alone those who pursue unfeigned truth instead of fabricated myths must be devoted. All this I have set forth without holding anything back. If, however, they receive these powers not for their own destruction, but for correction, and, filled with shame, change with their whole soul, first reproaching themselves for their wandering, and then confessing and acknowledging in a purified mind, before the truthful and guileless witness of their own conscience, all the wrongs they have committed against themselves, and afterward with their tongue as well, for the improvement of those who hear them, they will meet with the kindness of the Savior and merciful God, who has granted to the human race an exceptional and greatest gift, kinship with his own logos, from which, as from an archetype, the human mind has come into being. For even if they are in the farthest ends of the earth, enslaved among the enemies who carried them off as captives, they will all be set free in a single day, as if at one signal, since their sudden transformation toward virtue will strike their masters with astonishment. For out of reverence, their masters will release them from ruling over their betters. And when they obtain this unexpected freedom, those who, only shortly before, were scattered throughout Greece and barbarian lands, on islands and on continents, will rise up and, with a single impulse, hasten from every direction toward one appointed place, each guided there by some vision more divine than is natural to man, invisible to others, but manifest only to those who are being brought to safety, employing three intercessors for their reconciliation with the Father. First, the fairness and kindness of him who is being entreated, who always sets forgiveness before punishment. Second, the holiness of the founders of the nation, because their souls, released from their bodies, display an unfeigned and unadorned devotion toward the ruler, and are accustomed to make their supplications on behalf of their sons and daughters not without effect, the Father granting them, as a special honor, a hearing in their prayers. And third, the reason on account of which especially the goodwill described above hastens forth to meet them, the improvement of those who are being brought into treaties and covenants, who have at last managed to come from a trackless waste onto the road, whose destination is nothing other than to please God, as sons please a father. And when they arrive, the cities that had shortly before become ruins will be rebuilt, the desolate land will be resettled, and the barren earth will be transformed into fruitfulness. And the good fortunes of their fathers and forebears will be reckoned a small thing beside the abundant resources at hand, which, flowing like the ever-running springs of God, will secure deep wealth, both for each individually and for all in common, greater than envy can touch. And the reversal of everything will happen all at once. For God will turn the curses onto the enemies of those who have repented, the enemies who took pleasure in the nation's downfall, mocking and jeering at it, supposing that they themselves would hold an unshakable inheritance of good fortune, which they hoped to leave to their children and descendants in succession, while they would forever look upon their rivals, kept in a fixed and unwavering misfortune stored up for future generations as well, failing, out of derangement of mind. To understand that even the brilliance they had shortly before enjoyed came about not for their own sake, but as a warning to others, for whom, once they had abandoned their ancestral ways, a saving remedy was found. Grief at feeling the pain of their enemies' prosperity. So then, having wept and groaned over their own reversal, those to whom it did not happen to run wholly aground will run the double course back to their former ancestral good fortune. But those who laughed at their lamentations, who voted to hold public festivals on their days of ill omen, who feasted sumptuously through their mourning, and who, in short, made merry over the misfortunes of others, when they begin to receive the wages of their cruelty, they will realize that they were not sinning against people obscure and disregarded, but against men of noble birth who retained sparks of their good breeding, sparks which, once fanned into flame, made the glory that had been quenched only a short time before shine out again. For just as, when the trunks of trees are cut down but the roots are not removed, new shoots spring up, by which the old decaying timber is outdone and surpassed, in the same way, when in souls the smallest seed toward virtue has been left behind, even though all else has been stripped away, nonetheless from that small remnant grow the most honored and beautiful things found among men, through which cities, once again full of vigorous men, are resettled, and nations increase toward a great multitude of people.